So what's on your heart today, Monsignor?
Today, the Lord in his in the gospel is talking to us about his power over Satan. Today, Jesus is tested by his enemies, and in the third chapter of Mark's gospel, the scribes see this man with such power, Jesus, and the scribes who had come from Jerusalem said, he is possessed by Beelzebub, and he is able to drive out demons because the prince of demons is the power that he uses. And Jesus was just, he summons them and he's going to teach them. And Jesus began to speak to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, it is sure to fall, and it will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. That is the end of him. But no one can enter a strong man's house to plunder unless and take his property unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can plunder his house. Amen, I say to you, all sins and all blasphemies that people utter will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never have forgiveness. In other words, to be so completely in denial and to be so completely closed that that is hell itself. Many of us have, or some of us have chosen never to open up to God. That would be hell. You know, when these people who say, I'm going to go to hell because that's where all my friends are, there is no friendship in hell. Hell is complete and total isolation. And so the kingdom of Satan is complete division of itself. And the sin against the Holy Spirit, who is total truth, is to have complete and total lies. And that's what Jesus is pointing out. He said to about Satan, he is a liar and the father of lies. And so, as his kingdom stands on complete lies, then he is so unable to enter into the truth. And anyone who subscribes to this, that Jesus, who is truth itself, I have come that the world may have truth. My kingdom is a kingdom of truth. And Satan has made this world a kingdom of his lies. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, but is guilty of an everlasting sin. For they had said it had been by Beelzebub, an unclean spirit, that he casts out spirits. Jesus today has total and complete power over the liar because Jesus has total and complete power over the truth. Every time you see lies, there's an activity of the demonic. The father of lies is he's a liar and a father of lies. Jesus also calls him by another name, Mammon, the Mammon of iniquity, money and power. And the word demonic, the devil, means to divide. The devil, divide and separate. God is the truth, the total opposite of lies. God is love, the total opposite of anything that is so deceiving. He's love itself, and he is also unity. God unites the devil divides. And so Jesus has set up in each of us the kingdom of love, the kingdom of truth, and the kingdom of unity, that they all may be one as thou, Father, in me and I in thee. The Father loving the Son loving the Father, and the gift between them, the Holy Spirit, who is love itself, the Holy Spirit, who is truth itself, the Holy Spirit, who is unity itself, is completely and totally against the spirit of Beelzebub, the spirit of the devil. And the head in every one of us has a battle going on. There is in every single human heart a clash of the kingdoms. There's the kingdom of light against the kingdom of darkness. There's the kingdom of love against the kingdom of hate. There's the kingdom of truth against the kingdom and the spirit of lies. And so as the Holy Spirit and the evil spirit are clashing in every human heart, it is also in the entire world. This world is now under and in a division. The Spirit of God has been poured upon the whole world. And Jesus today is telling us, I am that Spirit that has come into the world. When Germany gave in to the spirit that Hitler and fascism introduced them to, look at the thousands and thousands and millions of people that died under the power of that leader of the fascist Third Reich. When Stalin and Lenin teamed up in Russia, 20 million Russians died of their own people. When our Blessed Mother talked about at Fatima, that if we do not turn to God, if we turn away from God, what is going to happen? A war worse than World War I, and it occurred. 20 million people from Russia, millions and millions of Germans were killed, and millions of people all over the world. A worse tragedy than the first occurred. That same message of Fatima is going out. God wants us to turn to him because the spirit of love and the spirit of truth is in the world. If we would open ourselves, he is so ready. If everyone hearing this message, because there is in you, in me, in us, a Holy Spirit, calling us, waiting for us, wanting us. Who is he? He is Jesus, who has come to redeem and to save the world from death, from violence, from war, from hatred. Jesus is here in our midst, calling us back to peace, to unity. They're hanging in the background. In a menacing way, is nuclear war. The evil one in this culture of death is constantly hating life. Jesus is life itself. Jesus is love itself, calling us, wanting us, inviting us into that union with himself. In today's Mass, it's very interesting. We have in the fifth chapter of the book of Samuel, how David becomes the gatherer of Israel. Israel was divided into the northern and the southern kingdoms. The northern kingdom was called Israel. The southern kingdom was Judah. And God wanted to bring those two together. David was the one who was going to rise up. Saul was the leader of the Jews in Jerusalem, and David succeeded him, and he was that for 7 years. But when they saw this humble, loving, beautiful king, David, and how he really led and was a servant and a loving, humble servant, he was anointed the king of all of Israel. So now there was a unity. Once there's humility, once there's service, once there's love, as it came under the king, there's unity that comes together. That was united for 40 years under King David. And so Jesus is now going to have the title of Son of David. And he is also going to be the Messiah, the anointed one, the perfect king. But a perfect example of corruption is in the same book of Samuel. Just a few chapters later, David, who in the fifth chapter is so humble, so serving, so loving, so powerful, so giving of himself, turns out to be corrupt. In the 11th chapter, David is strolling around with nothing to do. He doesn't go to battle. He sees Bathsheba. He lusts for her. Many people give this as David's sin was adultery, and it was. But David's sin was that he fell under the temptation and power of self-reliance, self-indulgence, self-serving. He was now the powerful king, and he didn't go to war anymore. He didn't serve. He just indulged himself. He became just lazy, slothful, self-reliant. When Bathsheba was pregnant, in the 11th chapter, it tells how David became so corrupt that he gives a message to Uriah, who was Bathsheba's husband, to have him go and present himself to the general of the army who was in battle and have him killed deliberately. David not only committed adultery, he was a murderer. He had him killed. And after he was dead, the horrible kinds of things that he in no way had any conscience problem. Now today one dies, then another. It doesn't bother him at all that he had Uriah killed. Finally, Nathan. You see, the kings become corrupt, but there was a prophet in Israel, and he came into the palace, and he stood before King David, and he said to David, "I have a case for you, Your Majesty. There is a shepherd in Israel who had 1,000 sheep, and he wasn't satisfied with 1,000. But there was a poor little shepherd who had a little lamb, just a ewe lamb, who used to take it to bed with him. It was such a treasure to him. This shepherd was so selfish that he took that little lamb from that shepherd. And when he was thought he was going to complain, he had him killed. David was furious. And he said, "You bring that man here, and I'll slay him before your very eyes." And then Nathan said to David, "That man is you. You have done this. When you took Bathsheba and you killed her husband to have her so he wouldn't be able to know of your sin, and God is not pleased with you. That man is you." The only king who is loving and totally serving is the Son of David, Jesus Christ. All of the prophets, all of the kings, all of the patriarchs were not able to save Israel, and were not able to save mankind from the wiles of the devil, from the corruption of Satan and sin, and from death. When Jesus came in today's gospel. Jesus has come to establish a kingdom of light, a kingdom of love, a kingdom of peace. That Jesus is reigning in your heart and in mine. That Jesus began his reign when you were incorporated into him and he into you. His kingdom is a kingdom of life, of love, and of complete self-giving. The standard of that king, which is head-on with the standards of the devil, the standards of Jesus is complete love, complete life, complete truth, and unity. Jesus has come to establish that kingdom in the whole world. He wants Russia to be saved. He wants Germany to be saved. He wants Japan to be saved. He wants the Arabic nations to be saved. Jesus is the King of the world. His kingdom will have no end because his kingdom is a kingdom of love. The forces against that kingdom, the forces of darkness, murder, violence, hatred, we see all over the world. Jesus is able to conquer and has Satan and sin and death. We have a king. Hail to the King, Jesus. On this day, we celebrate the feast of Angela Merisi, a little girl in Italy who loved so much and established a community of those who reach out in charity and love and reach out to people who are sick and suffering and needy and poor. We have in our day a beautiful nun, Mother Teresa of Calcutta, who reached out to the poor, the needy, the sick and the suffering, and the poorest of the poor. We also have in our day you and me. We have the same calling as these saints. If you're a woman and Jesus is in you, if you recognize, as Angela Merisi, as Mother Teresa, the beauty and the glory of Jesus Christ reigning in your heart, and to allow him for you to become a princess, a queen in that kingdom. God wants to reign through you. You have a participation in the extension of the kingdom of light and love and light. All over this country, we're going to be going in a short time to a Puerto Maldonado. And there is established a whole magnificent group of people by Father Philip Scott, saving children and women from white slavery, where they're taken into, and they're the slave trade in the world. They take children and women, and they take them from these third world and fourth world countries that are so poor, and they supply children for prostitution, for the slaves of the appetites of people in the third world. God is extending his kingdom of love into every part of this world through people. To become a participant in love, you must come through with and in Jesus. He wants to be the standard bearer against the kingdom of light in our, against the kingdom of darkness in our day.
Monsignor?
Yes.
In this battle that we have so often within even the heart of the church, we attack one another, and not just in lies, but in using the voice of the accuser. where we accuse one person of not being orthodox enough or another person of not being liberal enough or whatever it might be. I mean, how destructive is that when we turn on each other?
You know, the word accuser is Satan. Do you know that's what Satan means? And so when we see it, it's really what we do with Satan, and this is what Jesus is trying to show in this gospel, that you know him by his works. He's exposed through his darkness. So hatred and lies are the fruit, and death are the fruit of the evil one. They're very obvious witnesses and signs. He covers it up by the way that people gain it. There, like I think in the church, we recently had Archbishop Bing in Germany. What is the standard of this world? The standard of the devil? Honor, fame, recognition, power. And so when you build a $43 million rectory for your archbishop's home, I think it was $3,700 for a bathtub. That standard is really the standard of this world. So that the obvious darkness that's around some people who belong to the church, but are obvious in their reflection in the way they live. Their fruit is really reflecting where every treasure is, there does your heart lie. It's very exposed. When he was removed from his post, there was really no need of, just everyone said, well, yeah, that really isn't the way a bishop should live. That the new pope that we have is such a contrast to those bishops and priests. Many of them live in a self-indulgent way. Then how do you expose the darkness? By being light. By being truth. The most powerful way is not to accuse. And so the saying of the wonderful Christophers, don't curse the darkness, light a candle. Be a positive light in the world for other people to follow.
Final thought, Monsignor?
You know, when I think of especially the church today and many places in our country and in other places of the world, the church is poor. That poverty is an opportunity for us. The church is rejected. That also is a great opportunity because the standard of Jesus is to be humble, rejected, and have the cross. And so we have in our day a tremendous opportunity to unite our crosses with Jesus. I think it's the Diocese of Santa Rosa that's in bankruptcy. I think it's the Archdiocese of Milwaukee that's in bankruptcy. What a wonderful opportunity we have when we are poor and we can be like Jesus, poor. That the church can be poor and outcast and rejected by this society and other places in which we live, so that we can be more witnesses to the light by our standard of love and our union with Jesus Christ as he witnesses his love in a dark world. The darkness around us in the world is the opportunity. Stars are out now in the daylight, but you can't see them. When is a star most obvious? It's in the dark. The star does its great light and guidance in this world when it's dark. We have tremendous opportunity in this dark world to be shining stars of God's light at this particular time, and to show forth the life and the love of Jesus Christ that lies within each of us. Be a star. Let your light shine. God bless.